Welcome to Money Markets and Masterminds, a Citywire South Africa podcast that delves into the intricate world of finance, investment, and strategic decision making. If you're a fund selector or independent financial advisor or an institutional capitalist looking for insights, analysis, and expert opinions to enhance your perspective, you're in the right place here with me, editor Ruan Uesta. Today is the eighth episode of an underlying series in partnership with Morningstar South Africa called Mind Over Markets. And this week we have Michael Dodd, Senior Fund Analyst at Morningstar, as our guest. The Association for Savings and Investment South Africa, or ASISA for short, has made significant changes to how equity funds are classified. This may sound technical, but the impact is massive. It will change how investors compare funds, how asset managers position their products, and how advisors build portfolios. And today, Michael and I will be diving into the critical shift in the South African equity market, one that will affect fund managers, financial advisors, and investors alike. Hi, Michael, and welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rowan, and hello to the listeners. It's great to be here.
Let's start with the big picture. What exactly are these category changes, particularly focused on equity funds? Why were they necessary, and why do you think this is a good thing?
Yeah, it's a great question, Rowan, because I think these changes may have slipped under the radar a little bit, and we think they are both necessary and a really positive development for the industry. So effective from the 1st of October 2024, ASISA introduced a new South African equity fund category along with a few other changes that they made. The end result specific to the South African equity fund categories is that we now have two South African general equity categories, whereas before, the South African general equity funds were all lumped together into a single category, even though the use of offshore exposure between those funds in the single category was vastly different. So we have the new South African equity SA general category that was introduced for funds that invest exclusively in South African shares. And then the South African equity general category, which previously housed all of the South African general equity funds, that remains the fund category for those South African equity funds that wish to make use of their offshore allowance that this category does allow, where funds are allowed to hold offshore up to the regulatory maximum of 45%. So essentially now we have two categories. There's one for equity funds that are South African only, so JSE listed shares, and one for equity funds that are making use of both SA and offshore. Previously, these two distinctly different types of funds were being grouped together, and it made peer group comparisons under the old category less and less meaningful over time, as returns and a fund's relative ranking in that category were often being driven by performance differences between local and global equity markets that then also in turn got amplified by currency fluctuations. So it made it difficult really to compare apples with apples when looking at funds in the old category. So why we think it's a good thing, and we see the new classification standard really as a positive step forward. I mean, ultimately, an effective classification system allows institutions, advisors, and investors to make better performance comparisons between funds that are operating with the same investable universes and operating under the same constraints. So by separating the SA-only funds from those that use offshore allocations, it ensures fairer comparisons and making it easier for investors and advisors to analyze and compare fund performance.
Michael, offshore has been a major performance driver in recent years. Can you walk us through how global versus local markets have influenced returns? And what impact have increased offshore limits had on performance outcomes among South African equity funds?
Absolutely. So since 2022, where various mandates do permit it, South African general equity funds have been able to allocate up to 45% offshore. So in the general equity category, you can still be called a South African equity fund while holding 45% of your portfolio offshore. And of late, this flexibility has created massive dispersion in performance between funds in the category. Generally, what we observed is that that dispersion in fund returns between South African equity funds tends to spike during periods where the performance difference between local and global equities is at its widest. So as an example, the calendar years of 2022 and 2023 make really interesting case studies to show really what was required to be a top performing South African equity fund in those particular years. So in 2022, the local equity market outperformed global equity markets in rands by quite a distance. And against this backdrop, you were generally better off holding very little offshore. And if we look at the performance rankings for 2022, generally the funds with the highest offshore exposure were the ones that found themselves near the bottom of the pile in that particular year. Conversely, in 2023, we saw the reverse. Global equities rebounded strongly and comfortably beat local equities in that particular year. And in that market environment, you would have generally been better off with some offshore exposure in the fund. And again, looking at the performance rankings for 2023, that confirms this, with the funds with the higher offshore exposure generally finding themselves near the top of the pile. So, as you can see, peer group performance comparisons for South African equity funds became increasingly difficult over time. And in certain years, the extent of a fund's offshore exposure was really the key determinant in its peer group ranking. So as a result, peer group rankings became less indicative of a manager's skill and more reflective really of just how much of their offshore allowance that they were using. So the new classification standard helps to solve this problem by ensuring that local-only funds are compared to similar funds, and while those with offshore exposure compete within their own category.
Michael, so how are South African equity funds utilizing this offshore allowance? Are there trends in how fund managers are structuring their portfolios?
Yeah, Ron, that's a really interesting aspect of the market and one of the interesting observations that we found in the data in our report. What we found was that really there's no clear consensus in how these funds are making use of this offshore allowance. SA-only funds will, by definition, hold zero offshore. But in the general equity category, the offshore weights range from 0% to those that are fully utilizing their 45% allocation. So it's a really wide range. To try to understand some of the trends in how fund managers are using their offshore allocations, one of the exercises we looked at was to track this for the category on an asset-weighted basis. So that provides a picture of really where the larger and the historically well-supported funds in these categories have moved to with regards to their offshore allocations. And here, the trend of increasing offshore weights in South African equity funds is quite clear to see, and it's moved higher really as those regulatory increases have come through. So as at the end of September 2024, the asset-weighted average offshore weight for general equity funds sat at 22%, and that has been climbing generally over time. And that is something as well that we would expect to move higher in time, which again highlights the need for a new classification system and separate categories.
Michael, with this new classification change, what will the impact be on passive investment strategies, particularly index and ETFs?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting area. With regards to passive funds, we would probably expect the SA-only equity fund category to become the natural home for index funds going forward. And I think this is understandable given that the funds are tracking local market indices. And so the investable universe is by definition going to be JSE listed equities. The transparency of the classification also benefits investors because they can now compare passive and active strategies more effectively. The other thing it may do is it may also shine a light on the fees of South African equity funds. So your active SA equity funds are now going to be competing head to head with low cost passive options within the same category. And at the same time, active managers in the general equity category will need to, I guess, justify their fees by proving that they can generate returns above their benchmarks, especially when they have the wider opportunity set that being able to invest offshore allows.
Michael, how do these changes affect different market participants like investors, discretionary fund managers, or asset managers?
Yeah, that's a great question, Ron, because I think it will be interesting for us to monitor just how the industry adapts to these new fund categories. It's worth highlighting that these category changes are still relatively new and are only a few months old at the time of recording, and things are still very much in motion, and it may still take some time for funds to reclassify and for the new categories to stabilize. But one thing that we think could happen is that the new equity categories could segment the South African equity fund universe and determine the target audiences to which funds in those categories are sold. So SA-only equity funds, those have generally been preferred more by allocators such as discretionary fund managers and multi-managers who prefer to separate the management of their offshore equity allocations from their local equity allocations, as it makes it easier to control their overall offshore allocation from a regulatory perspective. So this change will be a welcome one, as it allows them to be more precise in their fund selection. General equity funds that blend the local and offshore exposure, those have typically been preferred by retail investors as they provide diversification. And then lastly, for the asset managers, I think they have potentially quite a bit to think about now, and some may need to rethink their product offerings. So some may launch new funds into specific categories where perhaps now they don't have an offering, while others, particularly in the general equity category, may need to think about their offshore allocations within that relative to what their peers are doing to remain competitive.
This has been a fascinating discussion. But before we wrap up, Michael, what is your key message to investors to navigate these changes going forward?
I think the key message that I'd want to leave with investors is to know what you're investing in. There may be some investors out there that are unaware of their South African that their South African equity fund can actually hold 45% of their portfolio outside of South African equities. So if you're invested in a South African equity fund, understand which category it sits in, how much offshore exposure it has or is allowed to have, and think about the role that that fund plays in your overall portfolio. Work with a financial advisor to ensure that your investments align with your long-term goals. And I think most importantly, when looking for a fund to invest in, don't just chase past performance, particularly short-term performance, because as we discussed, those outcomes could be skewed by basically the offshore allocation that they may or may not have had. So rather focus on a fund strategy and suitability for your needs.
Well, that's some pretty good advice. That brings us to the end of today's episode. A big thank you to Michael Dodd from Morningstar Investment Management South Africa for joining us for another episode of Mind Over Markets with Morningstar. We look forward to meeting with Morningstar next month for another in-depth discussion and some actionable insights. To all our CityWire South African listeners, thank you for tuning into this episode of Money Markets and Masterminds with me, editor Ruan Uyster, and my producer, Jolo, from the CityWire Studios team. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your network. We are available on all major platforms such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and iono.fm. All CityWire South Africa podcasts and videos are also available on its homepage on its website. Please go register and have a look at our wealth of multimedia content. And with that, and until next time, goodbye.